You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come in order to call us to be disciples. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in 1937, there was this guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, at this point, was just a kind of Lutheran pastor and scholar. And if you know anything, he was in Germany at the time. If you know anything about Germany at this time, then you know that this was sort of the rise of Hitler into power. And Dietrich was trying to figure out what all of that meant. He was trying to kind of read his culture, but also read scripture and try to figure out how the two of them kind of fit together and how to really kind of work that out. And he wrote this book. This book that's probably his most famous book, which is called The Cost of Discipleship. And The Cost of Discipleship has this great line in it that is ultimately very challenging. This great line that says that when God calls a man, he calls him to come and die. And I mean, that quote is just very metal. It's, you know, it's this thing of like, oh, wow, okay, when God calls you, he calls you to come and die. When God calls you as a disciple, he calls you to come and to die. And for a lot of us, well, that's kind of an affront. And even when Dietrich Bonhoeffer was writing those words, he didn't quite know how true they were going to be for him, because this was still in 1937. About 6 years later, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was going to be arrested by the SS and placed in an SS prison. About 2 years after he's placed in that SS prison, he ends up in the gallows right before the Allied forces come in to try to rescue the people that are in that prison. He loses his life for standing up for what he believed that it was God calling him into discipleship. And so Dietrich was writing those words 8 years before his death, saying that when God calls a man, he calls him to come and die. And 8 years later, he found out the truth of what those words really meant. And as we read this section from the Gospels, we kind of see that kind of fits with when God calls these four men, Peter and Andrew and James and John. He calls to them and he says, follow me. And they leave their nets and they leave their father and they leave their boats and they go and they follow Jesus. Now, we know that eventually, pretty much all of them, except for John, end up dying a martyr's death. But even before that, we have this kind of sense that what they're doing is kind of a death in and of itself. That when Jesus walks by their boat and he says, come and follow me, and they leave behind their boat and their livelihood and even some of their relationships, that there's kind of a death there. There's something that they're sacrificing. There's something that they're leaving behind, that when God calls to them, he calls to them to come and to die. And so as you think about that, you maybe think about your own kind of discipleship. You think about what it means for you to be a disciple of Jesus. And maybe as you think about that, as you think about God coming to you and saying, hey, it's time to come and follow me, to come and die, Well, you maybe go, oh, well, I'm not sure that I like that, Jesus. And so you kind of start to maybe think about, well, what are the other options? Well, thankfully, today's readings give us another option. They give us another option in the person of Jonah. Now, this part of the story of Jonah that Bob just read for us, this part of the story of Jonah is kind of the nice part of Jonah. And that's okay, because all I have to do is say Jonah, and you know the rest of the story already, right? You know that the beginning of this story doesn't start off with, oh, okay, well, there's this guy named Jonah, and God calls to him, and he does exactly what God says, and because of that, all of the people of Nineveh are saved. You know that there's a little bit more to it than that. And the little bit more to it than that is that the first time that God calls Jonah, he says, Jonah, I'm going to call you to do something. And if you read the book of Jonah, if you go home today and you look up that section, you find out that Jonah doesn't even wait for God to tell him what he wants him to do. That instead, Jonah just goes, oh, God is calling me. And almost like he can see into the future and read Dietrich Bonhoeffer's mind, when God calls him, man, he calls him to come and die. Jonah goes, God is calling me. He's calling me to come and die. I'm out of here. He books passage on a boat to Tarshish, which you don't know where Tarshish is, and really Noah didn't either. Tarshish was kind of this like mythical idea of a place. It's sort of like if I said you are going to Timbuktu, you kind of know that that's a place, but you have no idea where it is, but it's very, very far away. That's where Jonah goes. And in that, Jonah does this amazing thing that, well, Jonah dies. He sacrifices everything, right? Just in order to get away from God. That when God calls to Jonah, Jonah's response to that is to come and die. It's just not to come and die by following God. And maybe that's where the bad news lies for us. Because for us, we would kind of like to think that, well, if God calls me to come and to die and to follow him, well, then I have two options. My first option is to follow God and die. And I don't like the way that that one ends up. So maybe I'll take the second option, and maybe the second option is, well, God shows up in my life, he tells me to follow him, and then I just kind of ignore him or ghost him, kind of do an Irish goodbye to Jesus. But then I continue to live. But the problem with that is it doesn't work out like that. The way that it works out is how it works out with Jonah. That when we start running away from God, well, we start losing our life just as if we were following him. It's this amazing thing where, you know, we think that this story should play out in a different way, right? We think that Jesus should go to Peter and to Andrew and to James and to John, and he should say to them, first of all, hey, would you guys be interested in following me? Question mark, emphasis on the question mark. And then after that, then, well, Peter and Andrew and James and John kind of, you know, they talk with Jesus about it. You know, they figure out what the 401k plan is going to be like. They kind of see how many weeks of vacation is going to be a part of this. And, you know, as a result of that, they go, well, you know, that doesn't sound so bad. Maybe I'll go and I'll follow this guy. But that's not how it turns out. How it turns out is Jesus shows up and he doesn't do a question mark thing. He does a period thing. He says, follow me, period. And nothing back, they just drop everything and they follow him to their death. And we go, oh man, I don't know about all of that. In fact, I even don't know about all of that stuff that we were reading in the epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians, especially as we were kind of reading that out. And you know, if you're married in this building and you were hearing the Apostle Paul tell you that it would be better for you to act like you weren't married, well, then there's maybe a little part of you that's like, oh, I don't know. Can I even give that up? Can I give anything about my life up? Because at the end of all of the law here, that's kind of what we're left with, right? We're left with this question of, okay, the reality is Jesus has come to me, and in my baptism, at the very least, he has said to me, follow me, period. But what's that going to look like for me? What's that going to look like for me if I know myself well enough that I'm not even able to say no to the cake that's going to be coming after church today? If I can't even sacrifice that, then what am I going to be able to sacrifice? What am I going to be able to die to? How does that work in my life? Well, the interesting thing about this story from the gospel is actually what Jesus calls Peter and James and Peter and James and John and Andrew after he calls them. After he tells them, you know, kind of what's going to be happening. So he tells them, hey, come and die. Stop being fishermen. Follow me. But then at the end of that, he says, I will make you to be fishers of men. I will resurrect in you this thing that died. Because after all, isn't that what Jesus does with death? So if Jesus calls us to come and die, and we die, well, Jesus also calls us to be resurrected. Jesus also calls us to have kind of this resurrection moment in ourselves. And that's where I think that 1 Corinthians passage actually starts to make a little bit of sense. Because basically what Paul is telling all of the people in Corinth is to get their marriages in sort of alignment. He's saying, oh, okay, well, you've got this marriage, and you should be willing to live as if that was annulled. You should be able to die to that thing. And as you die to that thing, as you say that that's not the most important thing in my life, God is the most important thing in my life, my call into discipleship, my call into baptism is the most important thing into my life, as that dies, Jesus takes it and raises it up again to new life. And he says, this now is your marriage that I'm handing back to you. This now is your fishermanship that I'm handing back to you. This now is whatever it is that you might sacrifice, that God promises that those sacrifices are going to be something that he raises up again, because that's who Jesus is. He's not just the God who calls you to come and to die. But he's also the God who comes to you to say that what has died can be resurrected to new life. So as you think about all of those things that God might be calling you to sacrifice, and I'm sure that all of us can come up with something, knowing that somehow he's able to take those things and to raise them again from the dead is good news. And And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was right. When he calls you to come and to die. And every one of us in this room, unless Jesus comes back first, we're going to die because of our sins, because of the things that we've done wrong, because of the unrighteousness that is before us and inside of us. But he promises that even that death, he will raise up a new life out of. So may you go out into this week recognizing that God does call you to come follow him, and that there is death involved in that. But may you also know that there is new life waiting for you in his resurrection power. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.